Show. Almost 10 to 11 with the headlines coming up then. And the weather with television's Paul Hudson. Here's a sneak peek.
Windy.
And there you go. You'll hear the rest of it just after 11 o'clock. Do that again. Tonight, we will be having, in about 20 minutes' time, Andy Mossack will be on. International man of mystery. Roving travel reporter. There's not luxury in a nation that he's not experienced on this planet. However, he's back on the road, and he sent me a couple of clues as to where he is. I haven't seen these before now. I've got one to go right now, and this will help track us down. So see what you think to this one. Clue number one. This week, I am on one of the smallest of an archipelago of seven subtropical volcanic islands. The four biggest ones are well-known destinations for winter getaways. The collective name of these islands translates as the Island of Dogs. Ooh. Smallest of an archipelago, seven subtropical volcanic islands. The four biggest ones are well-known for winter getaway. The collective name for the islands translated as the Islands of Dogs. I'm hopeless with this. I've no idea where he is. So where do people go for winter sun, I suppose? I mean, it's further south, isn't it, than the Balearics. Further south than, like, Portugal. And you probably... Well, it'd be the Med, won't it? Southern Med. North Africa. But the islands is what's there. Is it Greek islands? 81333-RUSS. That's all of my thoughts on it. 81333-RUSS. On the phone, 0800-389-3333. Have a think for me, see if you can help him out. There is another clue just after the 11 o'clock news. Maybe that's what we're waiting on, but we've got to track him down, and he'll be here in 20. Islands of Dogs. No idea. Co. here on The Late Show with me, Russell. I don't know if it's necessarily that hashtag woke, but then again, what do I know? I know this show is lit. 81333-RUSS. Thank you to Dan. The question is the Canary Islands. Neil also says, well, now I feel like a fool. It's not named after the birds, but Canaria, which is Latin for dog. I should have known that. Marvel will be ashamed at me. So the Canaries, then, is where I suppose so. I mean, that's winter sunshine, isn't it, writ large, and the Canaries. Malcolm, have you got a big list of items like twinned with, etc.? Just, I always like to find out where he's twinned with, if you ask me. Still to come, I'll wrap up the sit sound tonight, which was songs for the sweet shop. And our friend is back on the road. Now, you've been giving me some really good words here. Good locations for him. We've already had one clue for Andy Mossack. Hi to Keith in Chesterfield. La Gomera in the Canary Islands. Dale in Bramley. It's definitely the Canary Islands, Russ. Plus, a whole lot of roses for the sit-down. Definitely Canaries. Right, OK, here's the second clue. Maybe this will help us get some specifics about it. The second clue is as follows. My particular island contains one of the world's largest astronomical observatories and a giant telescope called Gran Tican. With clear skies, the altitude of the mountains and low light pollution ensures this island is rated as the second best place in the world for stargazing. Whoa. Largest astronomical observatories, giant telescope, Gran Tican, clear skies, mountains, low light pollution, second best place in the world for stargazing. 81333-RUSS. Pretty, we know he's in the Canaries, but which one of them is it? Help me track him down. Bragging rights are on the line here. Full travel log, 10 minutes. It's Glynn and Thursday. Almost 20 past 11 then, here on FM, DAB, smartphones and tablets on the BBC Sounds app. It's The Late Show, and it's time to have a chat with our roving travel reporter, Neil in Skegby. You reckon it's La Palmas or Las Palmas? For Andy? There's a couple more here I've just got to shout up as well. Lynn with La Palma. Hi to Tim as well, who came in with that one too. So let's, without further ado, say a very good evening, Andy Mossack.
Good evening, Ross. How are you
good
doing?
Evening. I am absolutely fine, my friend. How are you?
I'm absolutely blessed to be here.
Really? That good?
Yeah, I'm having a ball. I'm having a ball. It's a wonderful experience. First time for me, too. So it's been a bit eye-opening for me. It's been great.
Okay, we've settled on this now, Andy. We reckon you're in La Palma, or you're on La Palma. Is that right?
That's bang on. That's right. In the Canaries. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well done. Well done if you help me track him down then. So why is it... you must have been to the Canaries before, I would have thought.
Yeah, I have. I've been many times to... There's Tenerife, Lanzarote and Gran Canaria. They're the kind of usual haunts for winter sun. But, yeah, La Palma was put to me, and it's just completely different from the Canary Islands that most people know. You know, it's, like I said, it's the first time for me. They call it Isla Bonita, which is the beautiful island. And it's sort of the most northwesterly of the Canaries. So it's the furthest away from Africa. And it's one of the smallest. It's only 47 kilometres long and 30 kilometres wide. There's nothing of it, really. But it's all packed in. You know, I loved it. I'm fascinated by this because it's such a sort of a small place. You can get to anywhere on it very pretty quickly. But, you know, they haven't got a straight road anywhere. Everything is switchbacks and ridiculous bends and, you know, high altitude and bang down again. So it's an interesting landscape, to say the least.
So we must be sort of confident in saying then it doesn't get the same tourism numbers then as its neighbours.
Absolutely not. No. It's really quiet. I think it's brilliant. I really am. I'm so impressed with it. You know, it's actually got two parts because the north, if you can imagine it, so there's a north-south divide. So the north of it is verdant green. It's lush tropical forest and huge valleys and soaring cliffs. And then the south is dominated by lava fields and volcanoes. So you've got these black sand beaches, very much, I suppose, a bit like Lanzarote and parts of Tenerife. So you've got the volcanoes, and it's still growing, apparently, down there, because the island is reclaiming itself from the sea. So it grows a few inches every year.
Do you know, I remember getting in fights, right, when I was at school. I got in fights, right, over the Canary Islands, because I remember going there. This is in the 80s. And my auntie had one of those, she had like a proper old school timeshare apartment on Tenerife.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, you can have it January, July and August. That's the 3 months of the year that they bought. So they did all right on the deal. But they had it. And I remember we went there when I was a small kid. And it was black sand beaches, right?
Mm.
Black sand. And it was August, so you can imagine just how pleasant it was to walk across it. And it was red hot. And I came back and tell people at school, you know, what did you do? We were on a black sand beach. Nobody would believe me. I mean, we're a much smarter people now. But they simply didn't believe it. But it does have the black sand beach, does it?
Yeah, it's got in the south, as I said, it's got some great beaches down there. And but I in the south, I went for this absolutely extraordinary trek. I mean, I went around two craters of these two volcanoes, and they call it the route of the volcano walk. And it's just must do if anyone's going to think about coming here. You've got to do this because it's actually 17 kilometers long, but you can just join it for the last 6 kilometers, really. And there's a lovely visitor center where it's, you know, where this 6K starts. And then you start to just go down around the craters of these two volcanoes, one called San Antonio, and the other one was Tenagaya. And that blew in 1971. The lava around it is still warm to the touch, you know.
So it's
absolutely incredible, yeah. Because it's only 50 years, I guess, since it erupted. But, you know, it's all perfectly safe. And then you go down to the beach... this 6K sort of around these immense volcanoes, and it's something else to walk inside a crater of a volcano, let me tell you. And then you go, eventually you get down to the beach for a well-deserved drink and some nice food.
Oh, yeah.
And the landscape's a bit just like the moon, you know, it's just quite amazing. And then they give you a bus that you can go back up the top again. So that's brilliant. I love that. That was fabulous. And then the capital is in the middle, Santa Cruz. And it's a delightful town, you know, really. It's quite hilly, but, you know, you've got these lovely pedestrianised street, and there's a, you know, they've got these lovely wooden balconies sort of from the 1800s, very Spanish colonial.
Yeah.
And a twisty little back street, very peaceful. I thought it was great. I really loved it. Really loved it. And so if you're into your rum.
Oh, rum.
In the north. Yeah, in the north they grow sugar cane. So plenty of rum, obviously, you know, brought over from Cuba originally. And they love all that. So a lot of rum being produced here.
Now, you mentioned this in your clues. I've got to ask, especially sort of this time of year while you've been over there and having a good old time, you know, fascinating ecology to the islands, fascinating geology to the islands. So bracing walks, volcanic craters, stone lava that's still warm to the touch from the 70s, you know, all of that. When you you go over and you sort of investigate it and go around this, you mentioned light pollution. Is it really clear? Because there's observatories on this island. I mean, is the sky... Is it really nice late at night?
I'm telling you, they've got very strict rules about how much light can be generated at night to ensure that it's kind of ink black in the right places. And these observatories are quite something. You know, I think they said it's the first destination in the world to be recognised by UNESCO as a starlight reserve. And this observatory, the Roque de los Muchachos, is the world's, I think, biggest optical telescope. I mean, listen, I'm not an astronomy geek by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, it's a pretty cool thing to go up 2,500 meters above sea level. So it's literally above the clouds, this place. And you just got this ink black sky, and they do tours inside. So, you know, you can actually stick your eye into this huge telescope and check out the galaxy.
I
mean,
it's
brilliant. I mean, I was gobsmacked when I heard about it, because you know, who knew?
Oh, this I've been to the, like I said, I've been to the Canaries, but this sounds like a place I've got to go to on this. I mean, let's get down to brass tacks here. What's the food like here, Andy? I mean, you mentioned the rum. That's nice. What's the grub like?
The grub is, do you know something? I think Spain generally is going through a bit of a culinary revolution. Things are changing in Spain. You know, the old days, you used to literally get a slab of meat on a plate, and that was about it, wasn't it? I mean, it was not much in the way of veg and, you know, your bits and pieces. And that's changed dramatically. And over here particularly, they've got some really talented chefs. And, you know, you get the usual tapas, which is good, but it's gone organic. You know, it's organic everything. Everything's healthy, organic, you know. I just think it's very, very clever the way they're coming up with all kinds of things to cater for. I mean, if you said you were a vegetarian in Spain, they look at you like you were from Mars, wouldn't they? But they cater for everybody. And there's some great stuff. There's the Iberico black pork, which is pretty good stuff. I had some beef, which was cooked for 3 days. Get that?
Three-day beef?
3 day cooked beef, very soft. It was like butter. Amazing. And then these Canarian potatoes, of course, everybody has. They call them papas, but it's like wrinkled new potatoes roasted in salt and olive oil. And you have this red or green sauce with it. You know, it's called mojo sauce, which is really good. When I was talking about vegetarian, I actually tried an Indian fig risotto with red cactus juice. Honestly, it sounds weird, but it tasted amazing.
Oh, man.
So, believe me, it's great. And they've got these crazy, crazy festivals as well, because it's carnival time right now.
Oh, wow. So and, lots of action? Are there lots of people busy? Does it feel like it's vibrant?
It's brilliant. I mean, they have this talcum powder festival called the Fiesta Los Indianos, where everybody throws talcum powder over everyone else. And it's completely bonkers. But everywhere, everybody wears these white clothes, and they literally go around just throwing talcum powder at everybody. I mean, I tried to find out a reason for this, and they came up with something about emigrants who left and went to Cuba and then came back filthy rich, and they had flour on the boat and it went off, so they then threw the flour at all the poor people when they landed, they came back here. So, and you know, who knows? Why get the truth get in the way of a good story, eh?
Well, exactly. I would say we're all flour rich. You mean you could do throw flour at people? I mean, that's a bizarre thing. But so, and how long are you there for then? Are you on your way home soon?
Well, I'm here till Saturday because there's only two flights a week. I was going to tell you that. If you want a direct flight, the only people who come here is EasyJet, Tuesday and a Saturday. And I think actually TUI go from Manchester, but that's it. If you want to come to the island other than those carriers, then you're going to have to probably change in Spain, I'd say.
Yeah.
But yeah, going to hear Saturday. And I must tell you, I had an adventure while I was here. I must tell you this.
What happened, Andy?
Well, I went to this carnival parade in a town called Los Llanos, which is the second sort of biggest town, I suppose, on the island. And I came early shift to come out here, came on the early plane, so I had to get up at 4:30, get the flight, get into a rental car, drive across the island, parked, went to see the parade, and of course by that time it's dark. So when I finished looking for the car, I couldn't remember where I put it. I don't know if you've ever been in that position, but
all the time.
I'm in a strange town, never been here before, couldn't remember where I... Honestly, I didn't know what to do. So
panic sets in?
No, I didn't panic, actually, no. But then I thought, well, has it been towed away by the police or something? You know, anyway, I phone up the car, man. This is a big shout-out now to Signor Defno from Monte Car Hire, because right. He was sitting watching Real Madrid, his favourite team in the Champions League. He drops everything, comes out in his car, to pick me up, and drove all around town with my arm hanging out the window, pressing my key remote, just trying to wait and see if any car lights up.
where was it eventually then?
I mean, ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, you know, and he just went down every small little lane, and suddenly there's two lights flash.
Hallelujah, you can get home.
I mean, I had my case in there. I had everything, my bags in the boot.
Honestly, man.
It was one of those, yeah.
Could have been disaster. So now we've got the image of you going down beautiful, quaint Spanish streets with your arm out of a window going, it's down there! Left!
And then he's got the radio on trying to listen to the match at the same time. Honestly,
oh, man. Bad. They must have thought... Well, there you go. What an experience. You'll not forget that in a long time. Andy, pleasure as always. When are you next on the road?
Next week.
Oh, we shall talk to you next week then, my friend. Take care.
Indeed. Good luck. Take
care. And another one on the to-do list. I've got to say, I'll be going to that island. Andy Mossack, he'll be back next week.
Hi, this is Otima Busek.